Praise the Lord. We are continuing our series in getting to know God this morning. And we've already looked at the omnipresence of God and the omniscience of God, that God knows everything there is to know, and the omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere. This morning, though, I'd like for us to look at another aspect of God's getting to know God, and that is this, and that is that God is all powerful in our life. Omnipotence of God, should I say? There we go. We want to look at that in the aspect of what is God's power in our life. So we bow our heads and ask God's blessing over our time together. Heavenly Father, as we gather together today to open the Word of God today, Lord, to divide the Word of truth to us today, I ask you, Lord, to let your Word find good soil, Lord, today. Father, that it would bring forth much fruit, Lord, that it would spring up, O Lord, not to just to be withered away, Lord, because of the trials of this earth or the cares of this life. But Father, I pray, Lord, that it would find good soil and bring forth good fruit, Lord. And Father, it would be a blessing in our lives, O Lord, and Father, it will satisfy our hunger to know you. Father, in the next few minutes, I ask you, Lord, to anoint me today to do what I cannot do in myself. And that is, Lord, to bring forth this message, Lord, in power and in might. Lord, I give you glory and praise today in the wonderful name of Jesus, we ask you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. This week I read about the power of the sun. And the sun itself can produce more energy in 1 second. It has produced in 1 second, the energy of the sun is able to produce more energy than all of the energy that the entire world has used in history. Is that amazing? From this moment, this second right now, there's been more power generated by the sun than the entire world has used in the history of the world. Isn't that incredible? And at that giving rate, the sun's current rate of operation, it will be able to burn for another 30 billion years before the sun will ever burn out. Isn't that amazing? For 30 billion years, the sun could continue to burn before it will ever go dim. That's a lot of power. How many realize that? That's a lot of energy. That's a lot of strength. But when you and I begin to open the Bible and we begin to look at God's Word and we see the one that created the heavens and the earth, when we begin to look at God's Word and we see that God spoke the Word and light came and the sun was made, that's not a drop in the bucket to our Creator. Can you say amen? God was the one who created that, and God is all-powerful. And this morning I want to talk to you about the omnipotence of God. Now that word omnipotence comes from two words. The word omni, which means all, and potentate, which means power. God has all power, has all over all things, over all times, in all ways. Job spoke of the power of God in this way. In Job chapter 42, verse 2, he says, I know that you can do anything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. How many realize that God is all powerful and nothing can be withheld from him, and anything that God wants to do, God can do. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. You know, when I was in India, and this is a sidetrack, I went and visited India for a couple of weeks, and they have gods everywhere. You know, they worship about 5,000 gods. And they have these little shrines everywhere you go, little shrines with these statues of all of these hideous looking deities. And we would drive through the countryside and they were everywhere, everywhere. And I noticed that there were iron gates in front of all of them. So I told my driver, I asked him, I said, why are there iron gates in front of all of these shrines to all these gods? And he kind of chuckled and he said, he says, people steal the gods and take them to their homes. So they have to put iron gates on them to keep people from stealing them and taking them to their home. Because they feel if they take them to their house, they're blessed because they have the God in their house. And I kind of chuckled when I heard that because I thought, not much of a God if you have to have somebody to protect you. Isn't that the truth? Aren't you glad that nobody has to protect our God? Nobody has to protect Yeshua at all. You know why? Because God is all powerful and he needs no protection whatsoever. He is powerful and able to do anything. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too difficult for our God. Why? Because God is all powerful. In fact, Luke chapter 1 verse 37, the angel of the Lord says to Mary, he says to her, he looks at her and he says, you're going to conceive a child. She says, how can these things be? Though I've never met a man. And you know what he says? He says, listen, all things are possible with God. I want you to know today that this morning, I don't care what circumstances you may be facing today. It may be difficult. It may be hard. It may be you don't know what you're going to do. Can I tell you something? Nothing is impossible with God. God is able to step into your situation this morning. God is able to do the miraculous. He's able to do the incredible. Amen. And He's able to do it through you today. Hallelujah. All things are possible with God. This morning I want us to look at the evidence of God's power. I want to look at the application of God's power in our lives and also the appropriation of God's power in our life. Nowhere is God's omnipotent power seen more clearly than in creation. How many realize that? You know, I love to hear people talk about God and creation. You know, there's been such an onslaught about God that we were just, we crawled out of some pond somewhere and became who we are. How many know what I'm talking about? And they want to rule out God in creation. How many realize it's harder to believe that we just evolved and became who we are than it is to believe that God is the creator of all things? If we believe there's a grand design to all that we have, if we believe there's a grand design in creation and within our body, how many realize a design has to have a designer? Amen? It just doesn't happen. But when you and I believe that there is a God of creation who is able to speak the words and bring things into existence out of nothing, can I tell you something? That's who we believe in today. We're not believe that we crawled out of some pond somewhere and became man. No, God breathed into man and made him a living soul, the Bible says. Creation is God's silent witness to His power. If you and I just look around, you can see God all around us in His creation. I love what Psalms 19 verse 1 says. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. Creation is a witness of the fact that God is all-powerful in all things. Psalms 33 verse 6 says this, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them, the breath of His mouth. Listen, when God said, let there be light in Genesis chapter 1, can you imagine the world was covered in darkness? There was no darkness at all. We were in complete darkness. And God said, let there be light. And at the breath of His mouth, light began to break forth through the darkness. And the Bible says, and it was light, and it was so. And you know what God said? He said it was good. Why? Because everything that God does is good. Can you say a good amen? Genesis chapter 1, let there be light, and it was so. God simply spoke, and by the power of His word, everything was created out of nothing. All throughout the books of Genesis, we see the power of God in creation. If we just look at nature, we can see the evidence of God's power. I was listening to the radio the other day, and it was amazing. They were talking about the woodpecker. Now, I think woodpeckers are kind of unique, amen? I wouldn't want to spend my day banging my head against a tree. I do too, amen. But you know what happens is this, as they begin to talk about the woodpecker's head is angled at just the right angle that all of the pressure that he hits that tree, if it was one half of a degree off, it would shatter his brain. But that is a grand design. God created that. So the woodpecker could bang his head against the tree all day and not have a headache. Amen. God is a grand designer. Hallelujah. And what did he do? He spoke the words into existence, and at the power of his voice, hallelujah, the world came into existence. As God incarnate, Jesus Christ was omnipotent. How many realize that? His power is seen in the miracles that he performed while he walked upon this earth. God, 100% God, and yet 100% man. He had power over nature. When he calmed the sea and said, "Peace be still," and the waves obeyed his crying. When they gathered together on the mountain and Jesus was teaching and they needed to feed the multitudes, Jesus took a few loaves of fish and a few pieces of bread. And what did he do? He began to break it. And the omnipotent power of God began to multiply the fish and the bread so that no one left there that was hungry. Have any of you ever done that? Somebody said one day, we were having a dinner on the ground. They said, "We're running out of food. Pastor, what are we going to do?" I said, "I'm going to take some bread and I'm going to bless it and I'm going to start breaking it." And they just kind of rolled their eyes at me. You know why? Because I can't do that. But Jesus could. Why? Because he was the omnipotent God that was incarnate here upon this earth. He had power over nature. He had power over circumstances in his life. He had power over sickness and death. The Bible says that Jesus healed the sick, opened blinded eyes, made the lame to walk, the mute to speak. He raised people from the dead, and he even rose himself from the dead. Can you say amen? Why? Because God is all powerful, and there is nothing that he cannot do. But the amazing thing to me about God's power is this, is that God wants to share that power with you and me. Is not that incredible? Now let me just tell you this morning, Pastor Rick does not have the power to break bread and feed a multitude. Pastor Rick doesn't have the ability to lay hands on the sick and their eyes be open or their body be healed. But did you know the Spirit that lives inside of me, hallelujah, has that power to do that? Amen. In fact, Jesus said when he sent his disciples out, he says, "Go and heal the sick, raise the dead, let the blind to see." In fact, when he went away, when he ascended to the Father, he said, "Listen, the works that I do, ye shall do, but greater works, because I go to my Father." Why? Because the Spirit of God lives within each of us as we've called upon the name of the Lord today. It's amazing that God wants to do that. My favorite scripture, and you know it, I've quoted it since I've been here, Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him that is able," aren't you glad God's able? Able to do what? "Exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think." But I love the last part of that verse. Why? Because it includes me. "According to the power that worketh in us." Can I tell you something today? We will never be God. How many realize that? There is a religion in the world today, and it's pretty prominent here in America, and it says that we all are going to become gods, and we're going to have our own planet, and we're going to rule our own planet, and it's really messed up religion. How many know what I'm talking about? But let me tell you something. We will never be gods. But can I tell you something? God lives within us. And the Bible tells us that the things that he did, that we are able to do. Because why? Because God wants to share his power with you and I this morning. Now, when I talk about the power of God, there's many areas that we could talk about the power of God in our lives. But this morning, I want to speak to you about the power of God in just two areas of our life, which I believe is so important as it pertains to God working in our lives this morning. What are those two areas? I'm glad you asked. What is that? Let me find my notes here. Here we go. Number one, and that is this. I believe that God wants to work his power in us. The power to get started. Amen? The power to get started. Sometimes the hardest things in life, when it comes to following God's plan in our life, is that simple thing, is to get started. I don't know if you know who Arthur Blessed is. Anybody know who Arthur Blessed is? He's the man that carried the cross around the world. you know, on the back and preach the gospel. And they asked him, Arthur, what was the hardest part of your journey? And he said, the first step. Can I tell you so many times, it's that first step that is the hardest. But listen, God wants to give you the power to take the first step. Can you say amen? Sometimes it's hard to get started. We know what God has a plan for our lives, but how many times do we postpone doing what God has called us to do because we just don't have the power or we just don't have the gumption to get started? You know, we say things like this, well, one day I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it. How many realize if you wait till you get around to it, you'll never get around to it? Why? Because God wants us to get started at what He's called us to do. Amen. Oh, listen today. What is it in your life today that you would like to change? What is it that God has called you to do that you hadn't got around to yet? What is it in your life that you can't get motivated to get started that God has called? How many realize that procrastination will keep you from fulfilling God's call in your life? How many times do we sit around and say, well, I need to do this. I know God's telling me to do that. But I just don't have the power to begin it, to step out and do it. And there's a lot of factors involved in that. Fear is a big factor. How many realize that? The fear of failure. The fear of stepping out into the unknown. But God says, listen, procrastination will keep you from doing what I have called you to do. Romans chapter 7 verse 18 in the Philip translation I want to bring to you today. It says, I often find that I have the will to do good, but I don't have the power. Anybody here ever felt like that? I've got the will to do it. I want to do it. But somehow the power's just not there to do it. I want to do what's right. I want to do what's good. I want to do what God's called me to do. But the power is just not there for me to do it. How many realize that good intentions won't get the job done? Amen? I can remember talking to some of the state officials sometime, and they would talk about churches, and they'd say, you know, this church has a lot of potential. That scares me to death. You know what I say? Because no church has ever been built on good potential. Amen? We've got a great potential to do great things here at Evangel Church of God. Have you realized that today? But can I tell you something? If we just wait on potential to build this church, it won't get done. How many realize that? The church only gets done. The church only does what the church is called to do when the people of the church and when the pastor of the church rise up and says, God, give me the power to get started to do what you've called us to do. We've all been there. We want to do what God wants us to do, but we lack the power to get started. Sometime in our lives, we find ourselves in a circle of bad habits that we just can't seem to break. We don't know how to start it, but we get in a cycle of doing something over and over and over, and it becomes a habit in our lives. And we want to break that habit in our lives, but we just don't have the power to start. How many realize that? This is a common symptom that every one of us has been guilty of at some time or another. That word that God wants us to do, the King James Version says this of Romans 7 verse 18, this, it says, how to perform that which is good? He says, I find it not. I find it not. I look for it, but I can't find it. I want to do what's right. I want to do what God's called me to do, but I can't find the power to do it. That word perform, how many times have we faced things in our life that we're not prepared to do? We don't have the ability, we don't have the talent, we don't have the energy, we don't have the intelligence, we don't have the money, we don't have the power to perform it. We want to do right, we want to live right, we want to do what God's called us to do, but the power is not there for us to do it. What do we do when our performance doesn't match up to what we have that needs to be done? You know what? That's where the good news comes in. Have you ever been there? I've wanted to do something, but I didn't have the means by which to do it. We've all been there. But the good news is this, that God wants to share His power with you and I to do what we are not capable of doing within ourselves. People say, well, it's easy, just get started. How many realize sometimes that's the hardest thing to do? It's just to get started. God wants to help me with the power to get started when I'm helpless. He is there to help me make the changes in my life that need to be made so I can take that first step. You know why a lot of people don't come to Christ when you give an altar call? It's that step. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, step out and come to this altar and give your heart to Him. And it's that first step that we don't have the power to do. Can't do it. But how many realize that God wants to give you the power to take that first step? Not just in salvation, but in every aspect of our lives that we live in. Can I tell you something? Anything that God ever calls you to do will be greater than yourself. And there's a fear factor involved in that. How many know what I mean? God says, I want you to do this. You say, God, I can't do that. He says, that's right, you can't. You've got to depend on me. But I will equip you. I will give you the power to take that step. And once you take that first step, hallelujah, I'll be there to give you power for the second step and for the third step until I bring you to the place that I want you to be. Oh, church, think about that. As a church body, God says, if you'll just start, if you'll take that first step, what will I do? I'll give you the power, I'll give you the wisdom, I'll give you the anointing, and every step of the way, hallelujah, I'll be with you until you're there where I need you to be. Can I tell you something? I think we've made the first step, don't you? Was we afraid? Absolutely. Let me tell you something. I was so scared about this fall festival, I tried not to show it. But the day of the festival, I'm driving back to the house to take a shower. And I said, oh God, please let somebody show up. But let me tell you something. I didn't let my fear keep me from doing it. How many realize that? Let me tell you something. Everything I've ever done for God, hallelujah, has been a scary process. But you know what? You don't let fear, you don't let the lack of power, you step out anyway, amen? And I found out when you trust God and you say, God, I'm stepping out in you, in faith, believing, He's always there. Hallelujah. Praise His name. When I'm helpless, He's there to make the changes in my life that I need to make. Philippians 2 verse 13, I love this. I love this. What does it say? For it is God. You need to say that with me. Say, it is God. Oh, come on, folks. Are y'all alive today? Say it again. It is God. That's right. It's not us. It's God. And it goes on to say this. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Hallelujah. It's God that does it in our lives. He wants to help you and I by giving you and I the will and the power to achieve His purpose in our lives today. The hardest part about bringing change and achieving God's will in our life has always been the first step. But God wants to give you the power to step out and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. Hallelujah. How many realize it's one thing to get started, it's another thing to keep going. Amen. I know a lot of people who stepped out, but they got weary, they got afraid, they got tired, and they quit. Amen. You know, I don't like that word quit. I really don't. I've cut it out of my dictionary. Why? Because there's no place for that in the believer's life. Why? Because you and I are not being called to quit. You and I have been called to persevere. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to give you and us the power to keep on going once we've started. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalms, look at Psalm 6 verse 2 and 3. The Good News Translation says this, I am worn out, O Lord. Give me strength. I am completely exhausted and my whole being is deeply troubled. You know what David writes? David says, I am so tired, God. Anybody identify with that today? Oh Lord, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm completely exhausted. God, I'm running on... You ever said that? I'm running on empty. Let me tell you something this morning. If you're running on empty, I know a place that you can get filled up at. Amen. Hallelujah. It's called in the presence of God. Amen. He'll fill your tank. He'll get you ready to go and keep you persevering on. Amen. God says, I want to give you the power to keep going once you've started. Listen to what Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 2 verse 11. He says, then I looked on all of the works of my hands that I had done and the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, it was all vanity, grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. How many ever felt like that? Once you got started doing something, you looked at how hard it was. You looked at how much it took. And you said, oh, what's the use? You ever said that? I think we all have. We've all said that. What's the use? We've worked. We toiled. Only to say, what is the use? But God wants to give you and I the power, hallelujah, to say, I'm going to keep on keeping on. Amen. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to want to quit when we don't see the results that we had hoped for. But God said, listen, I want you to persevere in this faith. I want you to continue to go on when you feel like you can't go on anymore. Let me tell you, I will give you the power that will renew your strength. Amen. Only God can give us the power to perform and to persist. That's the good news. You know, when I reach the end of my rope, you know what the world says? Tie a knot and hold on. That's what the world says. But I say this, when you get to the end of your rope, hallelujah, God will give you some more rope. Amen. Isaiah 40, verse 28 and 29. I love this. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting Lord, God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is He weary. There is no searching His understanding. Oh, I love this, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. If you're about to collapse this morning, if you're saying, I can't go any further, I can't take another step up ahead of me. Oh, He said, don't you know that the God of the creation, the God that spoke this world, He doesn't get weary. Hallelujah. And He will give you power. Hallelujah. Oh, to the faint this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, but He doesn't stop there. Amen. Listen to this. He says, I will give you power to the faint and those that who are weary. It says, there's no searching His understanding. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases their strength. When you get to the end of your rope and there's nothing left into you, God says, listen, that's when I'll pour my strength into you. Hallelujah. I'll pour my strength into you. Oh, when I'm drained, when I'm at the end of my rope, hallelujah, He says, I will give you power. God will give you power to be persistent because God is a power of, God's power is unlimited and He never tires. He never gets weary. He never sleeps. He never gets tired of our request to Him. Why? Because God is omnipotent. God is full of power and it's available to you and I this morning. Oh, let me just continue here in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Oh, listen to this. They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, and they will walk and not faint. Let me tell you, if you're tired this morning, if you're weary this morning, if you don't think you can continue on, oh, hold on to what Isaiah says. He gives strength to those that are weak, amen? And He'll cause you to mount up with wings as eagles. Hallelujah. That phrase right there, to wait. Oh, it's such a great word. I looked it up. It means to wait in the sense of expecting God's help. I'm at a place where I can't go anymore, but I'm expecting you, God, to come and to fill me with strength. I'm waiting with expectations that God's going to do something. Oh, when I'm exhausted, when I feel feeble, I'm going to wait on the Lord, expecting Him. I put my hope and my confidence in Him. When you feel weak, when you feel exhausted, feeble and hopeless, The Bible says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Put your hope and trust in Him, and He will what? Renew your strength. Renew your strength. You know what's amazing? I can be out working in the yard, and now that I'm old, I tell you right now, I wear out quick. That's the thing I hate about getting old. I used to work all day, not even bad an eye. Now I work a couple of hours, and I'm like, give me some oxygen. But you know what? I sit down when I get to that point. I take a little rest. How many know what I'm talking about? Drink me a little bit of iced tea. You know what I'm saying? Get a little air condition. And I can feel my strength beginning to be renewed in me. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. And I'm good for another couple more hours. Amen. When I'm feeling my strength weary, when I get weary, oh, listen, He'll cause my strength to be renewed. He says, you'll mount up with wings as eagle. I looked that up to see exactly what that meant. There are several different meanings in it, but the one that I liked the most was this. Is He'll cause you, amen, to sprout new wings and to soar like an eagle. In one of the commentaries I read, it said that these older eagles will begin to molt in their old age. We know that means they get rid of they shed their wings. And He says, as they shed their wings, new wings appear, new feathers appear, and it causes them to glide, hallelujah, in the heavenlies on the wings of eagles. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because it renewed, their strength is renewed. God says, I'll give you power and strength so you to keep on going. Some of you may think, well, that's great, that's good, Pastor, but that doesn't work for me. I'm a believer, but I've never felt God's power like that in my life. And you know what? You may be right. You maybe never have felt God's power in your life. I would say that most Christians do not know the power of God like in that degree in their lives today. And the reason is because there's some steps that you and I have to take to obtain God's power in our lives. How many realize God's power doesn't happen automatically in our lives? How does God's people get God's power in their life? Well, number one, I'm going to give you about four things. Number one is this. We first have to admit we don't have it. How many realize that? You say, that's not very deep. No, it's not very deep, but it's still true. You've got to admit that you don't have the power of God in your life. I have to admit that I don't have God's power. We act like we do. But in actuality, in reality, we don't. And we try to do everything in our what? Own strength, in our own power. And we cannot accomplish spiritual things in our own strength. It takes God's strength, amen? There's something that we have to do to accomplish His strength. And we cannot do it on our own. And when we realize that we're not God, amen? Sometimes we act like we're God. We don't mean to, but we do. We think that we're responsible for everything that happens. And what do? We work our fingers to the bone trying to get some kind of results that only God can bring. Can I stop here for some of you who've got children that are away from the Lord? You're worrying yourself sick over your children. Am I telling the truth? You're doing everything you can do to get your kids to come to church. Can I tell you something? The best thing you can do is pray for them. Amen. Pray for them, love them, amen, and put it in God's hands. Because see, you're trying to manipulate a situation that only God can do. We can't do it on our own. We have to realize that we are not God. God's Spirit lives in us, but we're not God. I can't control everything that comes into my life, but let me tell you something. God can control everything that comes into my life. Hallelujah. What do you do when you realize that we're not God? You know what you do? You rest in God's grace. 2 Corinthians 12 verses 9 and 10. I love what Paul says. Paul said unto me, God speaking to him, to Paul says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect, listen to this, in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather gladly in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmity, in reproach, in necessity, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, when I'm weary, hallelujah, His strength is made perfect in me. You know what that scripture basically says? That scripture says, listen, when I give up and I rest in the grace of God, His grace will give me the strength to do what I need to do. Amen? I glory in my infirmities. Why? That Christ may be exalted in me. I rest in my infirmities that God might be seen in me. When we think that we're self-sufficient, you know what we do? We short-circuit God's power in our lives. But if we will just admit our inadequacies, then we can start operating in His power and in His strength today. Number two, getting God's power in our life is this. We've got to exercise faith. How many realize that? Faith. The key to God's power in our life this morning is faith in God. Mark 9, verse 23 says, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. Oh, let me read that again. I don't think you got it. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Matthew 9:29, Jesus says, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith. What kind of faith do you have this morning? Is it a weak faith? Is it a faith that really doesn't believe that God can do what He said He can do? Well, let me tell you, according to your faith, that's exactly what you'll get. But if you're here this morning and you're strong in faith and you believe that God is God and that God can do what He said He could do, let me tell you, that's a faith that you can put your trust in. You say, I believe that God is able, more than able. If that's true, then we have to ask two questions in our life. And that is this. What are we expecting God to do in our lives? Let me ask you that question. What are you expecting God to do in your life? Oh, Pastor Rick, I just want to make it. Lord, have mercy on us. That was settled when you gave your heart to Christ. How many realize that? There is so much more. What are we expecting Christ to do in our life or God to do in our life? What are we expecting God to do through us? That may be a bigger question. What are we expecting God to do through us? Now that we're born again, now that we're saved, now that we're children of God, what are we expecting God to do through our lives? God always works according to our faith. How many realize that? Because God has unlimited power, we should not limit Him by our expectations of Him. Amen? We limit God by our own unbelief. God has promised you and I atomic power in our lives, and we live firecracker lives. That'll come to you on your way home today, okay? Why? Because we limit Him. There's no problem too big for God. There's no request that He can't handle. The issue really is an issue about our faith in God. What am I willing to believe God for this morning? Let me ask you that this morning. What are you willing to believe God for in your life this morning? Man, the possibilities are unlimited. Amen? What are you willing to believe God for? It's an issue of my faith. If we want to see the power of God in our lives, we must operate in faith. We must believe that God is who He said He is and that He can do what He said He could do. How many realize that? It's faith in God. The Bible tells us another passage of Scripture that anything that is not faith, how many realize, is sin. Amen? You as a believer, if you're not operating faith, you're operating in sin. You say, oh, Pastor Rick, no, that's the Scripture, that's God's Word. I walk by faith, I live by faith. In fact, the Bible tells me, the just, which is you and me, shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Number three, what do we do to get God's power in our life? We have to speak it. Have you realized that? You say, speak it? Speak it. It's very important that you and I speak in faith today. Amen? Listen to what 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13 says. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We shall also believe, and therefore speak. In other words, I just can't believe it. I've got to speak it out. Amen? I've got to do something about it. Hallelujah. Did you know that goals are literally a statement of faith this morning? We have goals in our church that we want to attain. How many realize that? We got plans that we're trying to achieve. We speak those things out. Amen? Sometimes I speak them out and then I go, oh God, how am I going to do that? But I speak it. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I speak it out so I can hear what I'm saying. Amen? So that faith will rise up within me. I have to speak it. I have to verbalize it. The size of your goals determine the size of your God. Let me say it again. The size of your goal will determine the size of your God. Show me your goals and I'll show you how big your God is. I heard about a man one time who was praying, God, give me more faith. Give me more faith. Give me more faith. And God finally spoke to him and says, fellow, with the goals that you have, you don't need any faith. That's why we've got to believe. Can I tell you something? If you can do it in yourself, you don't need faith. Amen? That's why God will never call you to do something that you are capable of doing. God always calls you and I to something bigger, something larger, something grander than my ability to do it. Why? Because that way I can't brag and say, I did that. Amen. And people will look and say, I know him and I know he didn't do it. That's got to be God. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to speak it. The letter of James tells us this, that our tongue is the rudder of our life. It's like a little rudder that moves a gigantic ship. The way you and I speak directs the course of our lives. Hear me this morning. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What does that mean? What do I mean? It means what you are saying is where you're going to go. What you talk about is the direction you're going to go. What are we saying about our marriage? What are we saying about our job? What are we saying about our health? What are we saying about our finance? What are we saying about our children? There are so many waiting on God to do a miracle, but they're sabotaging the miracle because of what they say. If you and I are going to speak faith, we cannot speak doubt in the same voice. How many realize that? I believe that God's going to save my marriage, but I know my marriage is over. I had a lady come to me one time and she wanted prayer. And I said, what can I pray? She goes, I got an incurable disease. And I said, do you believe God can heal? Well, it's incurable. Then what are you doing in line then? How many know what I'm talking about today? I'm praying that my children will come to Christ, but I don't see it happening. You might as well not pray. I'm praying that God will heal my body, but I don't believe that I'll ever get well. I want God to change my life, to help me break those bad habits, but that's just the way I am. Have you ever heard this thing called change? God is in the changing business. Amen? Hallelujah. I need to start saying what God is saying. I need to start repeating what God's Word says. Amen? Like, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen? And like, by His stripes I am healed. Amen? Like, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Amen? With man it may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. Those are the things that need to be coming out of my mouth. I need to be speaking faith. Amen? There are things that shouldn't be coming out of our mouth, and it shouldn't be doubt and fear. It should be faith in our Heavenly Father. Amen? And then number four, we got to act in faith. How many realize that? That's where most of us miss it. How many realize that? We've got to act in faith. We have to step out in advance before we see the power of God released, because that's faith. God wants you and I to take actions before we ever see anything happens. Amen. We need to act as though it's already happening before we see it happening. Listen, we don't wait until we feel it. Amen. If we wait to step out when we only feel it, the devil's going to make sure that you don't feel it. Amen. If we never step out in faith, we'll never see the power of God. You know, several months ago, I preached a message about miracle territory. You remember that? How many remember that? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to preach it again. Miracle territory. Remember, I put the signs up one side or the other? And this was miracle territory. And I talked about how Joshua sent the priest down as they were going to cross over Jordan. Remember that? Is it coming back to some of you? And the Bible said for them to go and stand in the river Jordan. And they're burying the ark. And you remember they walked in. And it was at springtime. And the river had overflown its bank. It was treacherous. And as they walked down to the river, and as they began to step into the river, the Bible says that the water, hallelujah, stood up in a heap. Can you imagine? It did not happen until they acted in faith, until they stepped into the water. Can I tell some of you this morning, you need to just start acting like what you've been praying for is done. Amen. You say, well, it hasn't happened. That's right, it hasn't. But that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. The evidence of things not seen. If you're ever going to see it, you got to step out in it. Amen. We're waiting. When the priest stepped into the river, when the priests put their feet in the river stopped flowing. The amazing thing is God wants to share His power with you to see the incredible happen. Some of us are waiting on God to do miracles in our life, and we think that we're waiting on God, but the truth is God is waiting on you and me. God is saying, I'm waiting for you to act in faith. I'm waiting for you to step out. God, I'm waiting for you to do this. God, I'm waiting for you to do that. And God says, no. I'm waiting on you to do something. And when you do something, then I'll do something. What good is God's power in our life if we don't take advantage of it? If we're going to see God's power in our life this week, we've got to step out in faith. Can I tell you something? Some of you this morning are going to need God's power this week. What are you expecting God to do in your life this week? God wants to pour His power and His strength into you this morning. Would you bow your head with me this morning? I'm going to ask Becky to come to the piano, not to the altar like I said last week. Would you bow your head? God wants to do the miraculous in your life today. God wants to do that which is exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask and think today. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't made that step. Maybe you've been stuck in that first part, the part of getting started. Can I tell you something? God wants you to take that step. It's always the hardest. But God wants you to step out. God has called some of you to do certain things and you've put it off and you put it off. Most of us know what God wants us to do. Others are still trying to find out, but most of us know. And God says, when are you going to get around to it? When are you going to step out in faith? When are you going to see the glory of God in your life? God's waiting on you this morning. God is beckoning you this morning to take the first step. Maybe you're here this morning. You've taken that first step, but you've become weary in well-doing. You're exhausted. Can I tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to renew your strength this morning. Would you stand with me all over this place this morning? With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around this morning. I believe that God wants to do something wonderful in your life this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor Rick, I know I need to step out. I know I haven't begun to do the things that God has called me to do. I know there are things in my life I need to break and I haven't stepped out. I haven't even begun to try. to break those things in my life. God wants to help you this morning. If you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor, that's me. Would you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you today. I don't want to embarrass you, but you're saying, Pastor, I want to step out. I want to believe God to do something in my life. Yes, thank you. Are there others this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm weary. I've got good news for you. God said He would renew your strength this morning. If you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor Rick, pray for me. I'm tired. I'm weary. I need my strength to be renewed. Would you slip your hand up today? Yes, all over this congregation. Yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God wants to renew your strength? If you're here this morning and you believe that God wants to renew your strength, I want you to lift up both of your hands right now, and I want you just to begin to call upon Him today. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, praise You, Lord. Father, I thank You today, Lord, that You are raining out strength and power, O God, a time of refreshing, O God. Lord, You said, Lord, that we would mount up with wings as eagles, that You would renew our strength, O God. Lord, we thank You today. Oh, right now, right where you're at, just call upon Him today. Let Him touch you this morning. Father, we praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Father, right now, just begin to fill this place with Your power, Your strength. Give us, Lord, an unction, oh God. Father, Lord, to stand up and say, Hallelujah. I'm going on with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not giving up. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Would you sing that song with me this morning? Praise His name. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Oh, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Sing it again to Him, would you now? Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. If you're weary this morning, lift your hands to Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. I shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word today. Father, You are the omnipotent God. Father, You want every area of our life, Lord, to be infused with power from on high. That's why You sent the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives, O Lord, that we could do what we in ourselves could not do. Father, You gave us the Holy Spirit, O God, so we could become what we could not be in ourselves. Father, it's Your power, it's Your strength flowing through us. Father, Lord, renew our strength today. Give us the power to start. Give us the power, O Lord, to continue. Father, that we might see the glory of Your presence, O Lord, in this place this morning, in our lives this morning. I pray for those, Lord, this week that are going to need the power of God in their lives. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, when that time comes, Lord, when they have a battle, oh God, when they have to stand in the power of Your might, Lord, that You would infuse them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, they would feel strength, Father, feeling their being right now. And Lord, we'll give You honor and glory and praise in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen.